Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from Matthew 16, and I read verse 24 as text verse for the sermon. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. We also use the Heidelberg Catechism, as we have read from Lord's Day 49, question answer 124. The theme for the sermon is to come after Christ. To come after Christ. Congregation, there was a boy, a child, you could say, 9 years old, something like that. And he loved to play with fire. So attractive to this boy, so exciting to do that. But his parents knew that he loved to do that, and they warned him, they rebuked him, they forbade to do that. And so he knew he shouldn't do it, but he did. You understand that? Adults, children, that something he knew he shouldn't do, but still he did it. And so one day it happened that he was playing with fire and he burned himself. It was bad, it hurt. Very painful. He was crying. And so, yeah, the parents, you know, they helped him, but also talked to him about it. He knew he shouldn't do it, and still he did it. Isn't that strange? Can you understand that? What is the problem? Were the parents not clear enough? Oh, they were very clear. They warned him, they punished him, and they did what they could, but still he did it. So the problem was in his will. His will was opposing the will of his parents. You could say there was a conflict between what his parents wanted him to do and what he wanted to do. Yeah, so you say, yeah, that's what happens to children, isn't it? And some have it more than others. Some have a more, you could say, rebellious character or strong will against the will of the parents than others. And yeah, I understand what you say. But wait a minute. Did you say that happens to children? Do you really mean that it's only a matter of childhood? No. I see you understand what I mean. That's not true. It's something we all have, isn't it? We all have that problem with our will, that we don't want things that we should do, and we know it. But still, we don't do it. So, isn't that very sad? And that makes it so clear immediately that the Lord Jesus, in his perfect wisdom, has given the best teaching about prayer. Also in this third petition, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's just a simple prayer, isn't it? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think you pray it, don't you? At least, in one or other way, you might use a little bit different words. It's very important that we have this attitude in our prayers, that we pray this petition, this prayer, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the will of God, let the will of God be done. Do you really mean that when you pray? I mean, That means that we would agree that not my will is done, but the will of God. And that's exactly how the Heidelberg Catechism is explaining this petition. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will. So you pray that for yourself, but you say, we and all men. Yes, we includes ourselves. So thy will be done is a prayer. Lord, please give that we will renounce our own will. Or to say it in other words, that we will say no to our own will. And that so the will of God will be done. And without murmuring, obey thy will. If you think about it, then the Catechism makes it very clear that the will we have from ourselves is evil. That there is depravity in our will, in what we want and desire. So, what is the will of man? And someone said it has its seat in the heart. Yeah, the heart is like the boardroom of our lives, isn't it? And there the will has its seat. And that's a very powerful position. So, and that will is evil by nature, the way we are born in this world. And so when we pray, thy will be done, then we pray, Lord, that we may renounce our own will. And without murmuring, obey thy will, which is only good. And that is something to think about. If you talk about the will of God, how can we know the will of God? Yeah, you could talk about the will of God in two different ways. But I think the first we have to mention is, when we read this, without murmuring, obey thy will. So that means you could say what God has revealed in his word, or in his law, in his commandments. That God is teaching us what his will is. We shall not steal and kill, and all these commandments, they reveal the will of God. And so when you pray, thy will be done, then you pray that there will be obedience, and without murmuring, obey thy will. We sometimes say that is the revealed will of God, like it is made known in Scripture. And that's more than the Ten Commandments, you know, the whole Scripture is profitable and useful for instruction, but yeah, the law is a very important part to explain what is the will of God. But it is more. When you talk about the will of God, it's more than the revealed will in the law, in the word. It is also, we sometimes talk about his hidden will, his counsel and his plan. Or, if you want, his providence, his sovereign way of leading our lives, which we don't know, and that's good. But, you know, and we experience in that way in which God is leading our lives, we experience there are many things that make us complain or murmur. We don't agree about it. We don't want it. So it has to do with obedience, submission to what God is commanding to us, but also submission in how he is leading our lives. And that we believe and trust that his will is only good. And that's a big thing. When we well, it's not so big when the sun is shining and everything is going smooth in our lives. Then it's pretty easy to say, "Thy will is good. Thou art ruling in such a wise and good way." When the darkness of night is experienced in our lives, and the pain of tribulation is experienced in our lives, and then to pray, "Thy will be done." Oh, we experience then how hard it is, and we experience the evil of our hearts, the rebellion in our hearts. We experience it in the disobedience, that we don't want to obey the law of God, that we want to do our own thing, to walk in our own ways, but also that we have that anger and frustration and rebellion when things in my life are difficult and hard. Yeah, that's how we are, isn't it? Is there someone who is different here? Someone who does not have that? Never experienced that? That those two things, the disobedience against God's will, and at the other side that we are not united to His plan and with our lives, that we rebel against the Lord and fight against his way in our lives. And so the Lord Jesus says, you have to pray. You have to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So this is sin. It's revealing the sinfulness of our hearts. It is a lack of faith, isn't it? It is sin that we disobey His law. It is sin that we murmur against His plan in our lives. Pastor, you don't know how deep my situation is. That might be true. You don't know how hard it is for me. I have so many questions. I'm not saying that you're not allowed to come with your questions to the Lord. But what do you want? Do you want to fight against God? Does Isaiah not say, "And nobody has resisted God and had peace"? No. Do you think you are stronger than God? "But I don't understand it, and it doesn't feel just in my life." Yeah, that's why you have to pray. Because you don't feel it, you need faith to believe it. You need to be united to the will of God. Oh, and that's such a struggle, isn't it? Isn't that a lifelong lesson? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, it's totally impossible. That's not something man can do. You're right. So, wait a minute. Let's go. Let's see what happens there in the darkness of the night. What happens to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane? You see Him laying in the dust. And if you look carefully, you see blood, sweating blood on His face. And you hear Him praying, "Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me." Not one time, a second time, a third time. But He prayed. And was there a darker night? I think we cannot understand the burden that was laid upon Him of the anger and the wrath of His Holy Father that He experienced in a full measure, because He wasn't hardened. He had an open conscience, and pure and holy He was. And that burden, oh, that made Him sweat blood. But He prayed, "Thy will be done." Not my will, but "Thy will be done. So he's praying both things. So that makes it clear it's not a sin to pray if the Lord would take this suffering away. But pray it in the spirit, the attitude of submission. Not my will, but thy will be done. But I don't have that. It's like a chaos in my heart. It's like a war inside. It's so restless within. That's why you have to pray. Because God is providing that. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That the Lord is making his people willing. That's why we have to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that starts here. It's more, but it starts here in my heart. Yeah, we do have a heart problem. A real big heart problem. That rebellion, that resistance against God above me, who is ruling my life. That's the sin of paradise. And that's in us. That's how we are born. And Christ is teaching us that we have to be delivered of that situation of darkness, because that it is. That sin is separating us from God. And God's child knows the difference. Those times, those situations when the Holy Spirit is hearing this prayer in your life and working submission in your heart to be united to the will of God, then God cannot do wrong. But oh, those times when my old nature is powerful and I am not in this attitude of this prayer, then it's horrible within. You know, then I discover the depravity of my heart. It makes me so ashamed. And oh, I should look more to Christ. I should look to him who was willing. Not my will, but thy will be done. So let's pray this. I mean, think about your own prayer and lay it next to the Lord's prayer. And you might use different words, but don't forget about this thing. It's so important. Thy will be done. That the Lord would give you that Spirit of Christ. But it's not only about me. It says that is grand that we and all men renounce our own will. Why does the catechism say it that way? That we and all men. So we is all already more than myself. And then it says also all men renounce our own will. Our rebellious, depraved will. Well, because this prayer is about the glory of God. His will has to be done, and that is to his glory. That becomes clear when you read this prayer, this petition carefully. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, it says, this prayer says, God, please, let there be heaven on earth. What we know there is in heaven, oh, that it would be on earth. We lost that, did we not? We lost it in our sin in paradise. Paradise was a heaven on earth. But in our rebellion and sinfulness, we have lost that. And so now we pray that the Lord would restore that. That his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we know. In heaven the will of God is done. There are the angels who were faithful when Satan and All the devils rebelled against God. Those angels were continuing to be faithful, and they still are. And they worship God. They sing His praise. There's harmony. There's no war or conflict. And also, if you think about the souls of those that are saved in heaven, they sing the glory of God with a whole heart. There's nothing lacking in it. There's no conflict in it. Oh God, that this would be the case on earth, that Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, that's a wonderful thing to think about. And you know, you feel the pain, don't you? That it is not a heaven on earth. It is not. This world is full of darkness and sin and disobedience against God, His will, His law, and His ruling of this world. People disagree, fight against it, want to change things in a way that it is clear that it is not according to Scripture. And it makes it so dark in this world. And that is causing so much pain in this world and destruction. I hope that you see that your eyes are opened for it. Because the natural man doesn't see it. We really need the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit to make us aware of it and sensitive for it. But when I say I hope that you may see it, I really mean it. But at the same time, I understand that it's not pleasant, that it's not joyful. It is the opposite. It's painful. It hurts. Yeah, it hurts. It hurts to be a Christian. It hurts to be belonging to Christ, to belong to Christ. Isn't that true? It is something of the suffering of Christ experience. And we cannot express how it has hurt Christ. He felt it in the deepest way. How people hate each other and hate His Father in heaven and hurt each other and fight against each other and sin against God. Christ has seen it, has experienced it. But those that belong to Christ, those that come after Christ, they also see something of it. Not so clearly and fully as Christ does, but it hurts. And so that makes us even pray more about it. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is that your prayer? You understand that? Does it hurt you when you see that men in this world fight against God, reject His word, despise His service, persecute His children, try to get rid of His church? And what are you doing when you see that? What are you doing? Are you starting to fight back? I'm going to make them know what they do. No. You pray, Thy will be done. You pray that God would grant that we and all men may renounce our own will. You are aware that you are in yourself not better than they are who fight against God. You have the same depravity in your heart. So you cannot feel better about yourself, but it hurts so much because you know the goodness of the Lord. You know how He is worthy to be praised and glorified. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we without murmuring obey Thy will. And when you read that word murmuring, it makes you think about the people of Israel in the wilderness, isn't it? They knew the will of God, and they knew that He was leading them out of Egypt to the promised land. And they had seen His caring hand in providing time and again. And then when they were hungry or thirsty, what did they do? They were lifting their fists to heaven and murmuring, "Why did Moses bring us out of Egypt?" Instead of folding their hands and praying. And that's a picture of man. And that makes it clear that we need this prayer. Thy will be done. O Lord, give us, give me, and give all men that we renounce our own will. And without murmuring, obey thy will, which is only good. These are big words. These are words of faith. God's will is only good. Do you believe that? I mean, concerning your family, concerning your personal life, concerning your health situation, concerning your business maybe. Do you believe that God's will is only good when things are not going smooth and are so difficult, there are so many trials and disappointments, and you feel the pain of that? How can the Catechism say that His will is only good? Because they speak the words of faith. It is the secret of trust. It is like a little child in the darkest night putting his hand in the hand of a parent and feeling safe, knowing it will be well. If you would ask the child, "Do you know where you go? And do you know the situation here?" "No, I don't know, but my father knows." That trust, that's a gift of God. It's a gift of God, that faith. But I hope you know that this is real. And when you can say that this is real in your life, then you will immediately agree that this is something of heaven. Isn't that true? Where you are united to the will of God concerning what you have to go through in your life, what you experience, or what happens to your beloved ones, and then there's no fighting in my heart anymore. Then there is a surrender to the Lord, a submission to the Lord. And I know it's impossible for man, but it's the work of the Spirit, and it happens in the hearts of men. It's something of Christ received in our lives. And I don't know where to get words to describe the peace. That's something of the harmony of heaven. Yeah, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But it seems everything goes wrong in my life. And I have to blame it also myself. Can I say this is the will of God? Or if you have to blame it yourself, what happens now to you? Then you have to repent about it. Be honest about it. Don't try to deny it or cover it. But at the same time, when you truly repent about it and look to Christ for forgiveness, then you may also know that God can turn this thing that seems to go, everything goes wrong, and use it for good. Is that possible? I cannot see it. Do you believe it, that God can do that? Is that not written in Scripture? That God can turn that thing in a direction that He will use it for good. I would like to see it now. I would like to feel it now. I would like to be out of this trouble, I understand. And faith has to do with waiting in the way of expectation. There will be a time that you will be out of it, in God's time, and that you may see that it was only good. But you have to wait for the Lord. How many times do you read that in the Psalms? You have to wait for the Lord, which is only good. Yeah, that's, it has to do with that you see things in the light of eternity. We are so inclined to think about this life, that's it. That's the way of the world. That's the spirit of the world. You want to get out of this life everything you can. You want to enjoy everything, and everything must be perfect, and it simply isn't. And with a purpose. So that there would be expectation in our hearts, and that we would think about eternity. That we would see things in the light of eternity. This life is very short compared to eternity, which never ends. Pastor, the pain is so hard. Yeah, okay. But let's read what Christ says. Let's read what Scripture says. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Just one scripture verse, but so deep. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man, you, me, if any man will come after me, after Christ, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So Christ says, the way to follow me is that you take up your cross. And that includes to deny yourself, because to take up your cross is against yourself. We don't want the pain. And I understand that, because we are not created for pain. We are created for glory, like there was in paradise, for joy. But we have sinned it all away. And now there's a way to receive it back. But it is the way to follow Christ, to come after him. And, you know, then Christ is teaching here about what that means. That means that you deny yourself. In other words, that you renounce your own will. Your own will is to escape the cross and to receive here in this life a crown. That's not the way of Scripture. That's not the way of the gospel. There is a crown prepared, but there's no crown without a cross. Now, you mean the cross of Christ? Yes, that's what I mean, but that's not all Scripture says. No, it's also in my life, when I come after Christ, there's something of that cross of Christ in my life. Yeah, we are inclined to forget it. When we bring the gospel, we say, you know, the best life you can have is a life with Christ. And it's so true. But would it not be wise to explain that more? That you say, yes, it is a life where we will experience that there is suffering. But you know, in this suffering, that the Lord is helping us. And that's why it is still the best life you can have. God was at my side. He was strengthening me. He was keeping me. He was supporting me. And so it is well with me. You have that experience. You understand that. So the Lord Jesus says, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. That's something active, you know, take up your cross. Don't drag it behind you like, oh, I have to, you know, it's just how it is. And to take up is something of acceptance, is something of surrender, something of submission. Yeah, so there we are again. Huh? That is the work of the Spirit, that the Lord is making his people willing. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So what is the cross? The cross is the place where Christ has suffered punishment, shame, and darkness. And so we take up the cross and we will experience in this life a suffering, pain, chastisement, and days of darkness. That's part of following Christ. There is no other way. I know you don't like it, and I don't like it either. But that is what we have caused by sin. So to be a Christian, that means that we have to take the cross. And it can be in so many different ways. It can be that your health is broken. It can be that you have disappointments in a relation or in whatever situation. And that you would really want to get rid of it. But then that you have a change in your life and remember what Christ has spoken, and that you start to pray that God will make it fruitful in your life, that God will provide help in this situation. And it's not wrong that you pray that God will take the suffering away, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that your soul will be saved. And so that Christ says that that you have to take up your cross, you know, he simply says there is no other way. You cannot be saved without a cross that you experience in your life. And that's what we find, in other words, in the book of Acts, where it says we have to enter the kingdom of heaven by much tribulation. And yeah, so everybody would like to enter the kingdom of heaven, but nobody likes the tribulation. But the teaching is clear. And so we have to pray about it. Thy will be done. And we have to pray for the Holy Spirit to humble us and to give us submission. Pastor, I don't like this. I don't like the preaching about that life will be a life full of suffering. I understand that. But don't you have anything else to say? Sure, I do. Because it says, you come after Christ. It's just to follow his footsteps, you know. And then if you come after him, what does that mean? You see him. And you see his love in his obedience. And that makes it sweet. So to take up your cross, it's hard, it's painful. And at the same time, there is sweetness in it, you know, if you do it in a way that you follow Christ, that you look to him, that his love is poured out in your heart. So you have your dreams. And then the apostles, the disciples had their dreams. Peter had his dream. When the Lord Jesus told him, Peter, listen, disciples, listen, I have to suffer and to die. And Peter took him and rebuked him. No, that's not going to happen. What we have in mind is that there will be an earthly empire kingdom, and we will be ministers, we will have an important position, we will have our crowns here in this life. And that's how we want to be Christians. Christ says, no, go behind me, Satan. You think the things of man. That's not a thing of God. You're not going to bear a crown, but a cross. And that's the way to glory. Then you will experience the reward in eternity. And yeah, that reward is so great. That will make up in just one moment for all the suffering. And in this suffering, you're not by yourself. Christ is with you. Isn't that the way we find that deep union with Christ? In taking up the cross, that his presence becomes so real in our lives, and his power, and that we see our need to depend on him and pray this prayer. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 64, stanza 1 through 3. 64, stanza 1. Lord, I lift my soul to thee. O my God, I trust thy might. 64, all stanzas. Congregation, we cannot enter the glory of heaven without suffering, without a cross. And it's not that God has pleasure in that, but it has to do with ourselves, because we have to deny our own will. And we have to take our cross. And that's the way to come after Christ. And so when you have that experience, that work of the Spirit in your life, then it will be like it is written here in the Catechism, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. So, this work of the Spirit to make us willing to take up the cross will be fruitful, will be seen in this life and this world, that everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Those mighty heroes in heaven serve God with all their might and with their whole heart. And so when we have this willingness, this work of the Spirit, this faith in God, this trust in the Lord, that will make the difference of for our walk in life here on earth. We will be faithful in the duties that we have. Well, you don't know how boring my work is, or you don't know that nobody is paying attention to it. Well, I got a question for you. Do you believe that God is ruling your life? And I'm not saying that you're not allowed to look for a better position, but at this moment, God is giving you this position and this duty and this task. So do it for the Lord. Yeah, and so if nobody is paying attention to it and, you know, kind of rewarding you with praise or something else, then remember that you do it for God. Oh, that's a very humble thing, isn't it? That's the fruit of seeing Christ and what he did for me, and how he has taken the cross so that I would be delivered from it. That will make me faithful in doing my duty in this life, willingly, and in a way that people can trust me and depend on me. And that's a testimony. That's a witness in this world to the glory of God. You can see this person is a Christian. You can see this person is loving God. Oh, this is so, this whole prayer is so against our nature, isn't it? We have a nature that we want things to go my way, and I want to control, yeah, even other people that surround me. That shows our lack of faith. If that is still how we feel, that shows that we don't know much of Christ in our life. If that is the way we live, oh, we need to pray this prayer. And you know, then we will not be disappointed, and we will not be ashamed, because this prayer, God will hear this prayer. In this life, he will help you. He will be with you in times of suffering. He will help you to resist, to deny your own corrupt will, but also you will one day fully experience that the will of God is done. Like it is now in heaven, it will fully be done. God will be all in all. That all that fight will be over. That battle will be over when Christ will return. Then there will be a situation that this prayer is fully reality, that every knee will bend and every tongue will acknowledge that Christ is the Lord. So you need patience and endurance. You need to look to Christ. You need to see how he loved until the end. He paid the full price. Are you a Christian? Are you after Christ? Are you following Him? That's an important question. It has to do with the question where you will spend eternity, in heaven or in hell. And if you say, I am a Christian, then I know that you are a person who, by the grace of God, deny yourself. In other words, you are a peacemaker. You wouldn't fight unless it is about the glory of God. What a difference it is. Isn't that attractive? Isn't that something of the smell of, that you can, the fragrance of the love of Christ? Are you a Christian? Denying yourself and taking up your cross in whatever way it might be and follow Christ, then you will enter that glory and give Him all the glory and see Him like He is. Or if not, if you say, no, that's not what I want, I have to preach you that you will not be with the Lord in glory, but then there will be eternal suffering and darkness as the wages of sin. Why? Why would you be unwilling? Why cannot? Well, pray, thy will be done. Why would you be unwilling to suffer this life, in following Christ, and have in that suffering sweet consolation of the presence of Christ, instead of suffer for all eternity, no consolation, tormented by Satan? It's just one of the two. So pray. Pray this prayer, thy will be done, and trust the Lord, and He will do it. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we come before thee in prayer. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word. It's clear, it's powerful, there's no doubt about it. Lord, nobody can say, I didn't know the way. Oh Lord, that we would not have to regret it for all eternity. That would be hell of hell if we have known the way and didn't want to walk in it. And we don't want to walk in it, Lord. That's our rebellious nature. But thou hast taught us to pray, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And it starts in our own heart. And Lord, thou art the hearer of prayer. That's why we have hope. And that's what we sing, that thy people will be willing in the day of thy power. Lord, let the word be powerful and fruitful in our lives. Thou art so worthy, Lord, that every knee will bend. Oh, could it be in this life that we all will bend the knee before Christ and bow at His feet to be saved. Thou art so worthy, it's so good. It is so good that, yes, there is suffering, but it's so much better than everything that the world can give us. What would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world for a few years, a few decades of years, and lose his soul for eternity? That we would be convinced about the seriousness of life as a preparation for eternity. Lord, bless thy word. Forgive our sins. Keep us when we go home. And we pray, Lord, also for the Forgotten Man ministry, the preaching in jail, like it happened today also. That thou would bless it, Lord. Make it fruitful. We have a dinner to raise funds for this ministry, Lord. That thou would work in the hearts of the inmates, that many will be saved to come to Christ. It will be bearing the cross, but also receiving the crown in due time. Lord, hear us, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.